mahalach in the crypto trading, which is that I can bid on a coin at the price that I want. Meaning, I think that it's only shove and it's only worth it for me to invest at X dollars. So then I'm going to put in that bid, and I'm going to say that I'll buy X amount of, let's take Bitcoin, I'll take X amount of Bitcoin at X price, and that's what I want, that's what I would like to buy. Fine. The problem is, and the reason why this is a very important shaila that really didn't exist in any other markets so much in the past, is the chop of the crypto market, is that it's a 24/7 market. And this is a market that never sleeps. It's a market that's around the world, it's around the globe, and it is already always chai v'kayim, and in theory, today, this morning, I could put on any exchange you want. There are many different exchanges, but I can put a bid on, let's say, Coinbase, and I could put in a certain amount going into Shabbos, and if that matches what the market hits, then I could potentially acquire my Bitcoin on Shabbos. So that is a very, very important shaila for us to discuss whether or not that is appropriate. And I think the first place...
Questions, was that different from stocks?
So it's not really different from stocks. The difference from stocks is that stocks, you're not going to have the shaila on Shabbos. It would be similar to stocks on...
You can put it in the order on Friday.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, but it's not as common. Ramesh already had a tshuva about the stock market, but here this is really shayach all Shabbos and all the time. So how do we navigate this halach? Yeah.
If you put in an order Friday, let's say Erev Yom Tov, any time it hits, you don't put in just for Yom Tov. You put in even the day after Yom Tov.
So you're a big crypto fan. You're Makel on this shot. So let's analyze. Yeah, good. You hold that it's good. Okay, good. Excellent. Where are you from?
I'm from Boca Raton. What do you mean?
From Boca Raton, yeah.
It's not obvious?
Born and raised.
Very good. Excellent. So this is what I want to discuss. Excellent. So we want to get to your conclusions. Maybe. We'll see. Okay, very good. So why does this... Yeah. Good, excellent. So what's your name? Roy.
Ron.
Sorry. Good. So you're arguing that I'm passive. I'm not doing anything wrong.
Everybody gives the chabura.
Excellent. I love it. Beautiful.
You ask a question, then we give the chabura.
So you all think like I agree. You're leaving your lights on. You're leaving your food cooking. I can set up Shabbos clocks, you know, before Shabbos. Everything could turn on afterwards. As long as I'm passive on Shabbos, there's no issue, and there shouldn't be a problem. Good, very good. So let's just let's analyze this. Maybe we'll agree with you. Maybe we won't agree with you. We have to see if there's any room to differentiate here. Perhaps based on the nature of what the issur is over here, maybe we can draw a similar conclusion or a different conclusion, and hopefully we'll find a way to make everyone happy over here. Oh, you're really serious about this.
The problem of Shema Yechab,
Ron's talking about cooking itself. Ron's not talking about stoking the coals. Ron's talking about the cook.
But you can't leave it by itself unless there's certain conditions, because of Shema Yechab and Mechala. The Shiva Hatmana, that's the whole
thing. Okay, but you put a blech on, so you can leave it on a blech.
So he shuts the computer off.
That's cooking, exactly.
So here you have Shema Yechab.
Right? Good. Excellent. That's where I want to get to. Beautiful. Beautiful. Excellent. So the reason why this really, in my opinion, connects to this week's Parsha is because the Torah in this week's Parsha introduces to us in the Parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu were redeemed and saved all of the Bechorim from Makas Bechoris towards the end of the Parsha. So the Torah concludes with a fascinating mitzvah that is really just needs, you know, it's so interesting and so exciting when a person gets the opportunity to attend or has the mitzvah himself, which is the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, the mitzvah of redeeming the firstborn son. So often, and it really happens, you know, not all the time, but it happens, a Pidyon HaBen could fall out on Shabbos. Let's say that there's a machlokes, how to calculate the 30 days for a Pidyon HaBen. We have the Paskin La'alacha, like the Shita of the Magen Avram, that the month is really after the month on day 31. Day 31 sometimes falls out on Shabbos. So what do you do if you have such a situation? So we usually tell people to push it off. You have either a Matzah Shabbos or a Sunday Pidyon HaBen. And that's usually what you do. So the Trumas HaDeshen raised the following Shiloh. Trumas HaDeshen says, why? What's the big deal? What's the problem? Let's have the Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. This is a great time. Everyone's together. Everyone's having Kiddush anyways. We could probably save money. We can catch a deal with the community. And it would be a great solution. So the Trumas HaDeshen says, why don't we do the following? The Gemara Bechoris talks about Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, if the money's not around. But the Gemara says, fundamentally, everyone agrees, if let's say I know I'm not going to be around after 30 days, let's say, or I'm not going to have cash available after 30 days. So I say, I want to go to the Kohen and I say, I'm going to give you your 5 coins right now. Okay? I'm going to give you your 5 coins right now. And those coins are around at the end of 30 days. Then the Gemara says, everyone agrees that Pidyon HaBen is good. You don't have to do it after day 30. The Gemara just says you have to make sure, according to everyone, that the money is still around. But the fact that you did the transaction beforehand is A-okay. So says the Trumas HaDeshen, so why don't we employ that Gemara? Why don't we say, just like you could be paid if you're going to be out of town, or if you're not going to have the money before day 30 hits. So let's do this. Let's have a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. We'll be so geschmack, and we're going to have such a great party, and everyone's going to be here for the Kiddush, and we'll kill 2 birds with 1 stone, and we'll have a Pidyon HaBen. And what will I do? I'll make the transaction with the Kohen Erev Shabbos, and then on Shabbos, so then we'll set up that we'll be. You're not allowed to do a Pidyon HaBen before day 30 hits. So we'll say, no, I'm making a t'nai that the Pidyon HaBen shouldn't be chal until day 31. That's when the chalos of the kinyan is chal. That's when the result, it's carried out. The transaction is carried out. We set it up beforehand, and then it's carried out on Shabbos itself. Good. So the Trumas HaDeshen says that would have been a great suggestion. You know what the problem is? Says the Trumas HaDeshen, the problem is, I'm not really sure when to make the bracha. Should you make the bracha on Shabbos, when the pidyon actually takes effect? Or should you make the pidyon on Erev Shabbos, when you're actually dealing with the Kohen? You're involved in the transaction, so that's the problem. The problem is, when are you going to make a bracha? And then the Trumas HaDeshen says, and you know what my other problem is? When should you call the caterer? Should you call the caterer for Friday? Or should you call the caterer for Shabbos? It says, Trumas HaDeshen, when's the Mesiba supposed to be? When's the Suda supposed to be? Is it supposed to be the time that the child is nifdes? It takes effect. He is redeemed. That is when you should call the caterer. That's when the Suda should be. Or is it the time where, no, we're acting out the pidyon. We're now involved in the transaction. We're talking. My boy is Tvei. We're talking to the Kohen. Which one do you want? Do you want the kid? Do you want the Kedusha? Do you want to keep the kid? So is that the time that you should really do the Mesiba? So therefore the Trumas HaDeshen says, that's why you can't do the Pidyon in this setup with the Kohen beforehand and make it Chal on Shabbos. That's the end of the Trumas HaDeshen. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch.
Good.
However, comes along Reb Kiva Eger, and Reb Kiva Eger has the following tshuva. Reb Kiva Eger thinks that, not so fast. He quotes a kasha, a fascinating kasha of the Shagas Aryeh, connecting to a different yontiv, connecting to a different parsha, which is the parsha of Parshas Achrinus. The Torah tells us, and there's a long sugis about this in Maseches Yuma, that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, before he does the avoda, before he practices in the Beis HaMikdash, he can't do so alone. He can't do so as an individual. He has to represent his family. He has to go in ba'ado u'b'ad beiso. He has to go in with a wife, and he has to go in as one member of the couple, and the woman is actually ma'akev, and she actually will withhold, she will invalidate the avoda if she's not around, she's not aware. She is part and parcel and integral to the avoda, the most important service on Yom Kippur. It's a fascinating concept that the Kohen Gadol needs his wife, needs her support in order to go into the Kodesh, for the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph discusses a very major concern. Since the fact that the woman being married to the man and being there as an anchor, as a support for the Kohen Gadol is integral to the Avoda, so what happens if she dies?
If he
What happens if she's not around? So that's the mission of the first sugya. So the Gemara is very concerned, and Rabbi Yehuda says, wait a second, we might have to have backups over here, and we're very, very concerned. And then the Gemara says you have to have a backup Kohen Gadol. Oh. So the Gemara says, what about a backup wife? That's exactly what I'm discussing. Backup
Cohen,
wife.
Cohen,
yeah.
You got excited.
Yeah. That's the second shear, is how to deal with a backup wife. So the Gemara says, well, what about a backup wife? How do you deal with all these issues? So the Gemara says, you have a problem over here. You can't have a backup wife. Not only because you won't have peace of mind to do the Avodah, but the Gemara says it's a problem. The Gemara says, V'chiper ba'ado bad beiso, one wife. You can't have two wives. V'lo batim, beiso v'lo batim. You can't have many wives. So the Gemara says that that's not appropriate. So the Gemara discusses on Daf Yud Gimel Min Aleph all these different options. The Gemara says, why don't you marry both of them on Erev Yom Kippur, divorce one al Tanai, that if she dies, so then the other one will be alive, and if she's alive, so then the other one will divorce take effect. The Gemara has all these permutations on Daf Yud Gimel Med Aleph. I'm not going to go through all the different ideas and setups of the Gemara with all these different divorces that we can have different Tanayim, and the Gemara says all these different problems that they have with every condition. What if she dies, and what if she dies, what, and you're going to marry to this one, and then you're going to be stuck with no one. So the Gemara says these are the different options. So ask the Shagasari, one second, I have a very simple solution. Forget divorce over here. Let's go with your mahalach. This is not a good idea to get married in the first place, even for Erev Yom Kippur. You know, you want to be involved in shuva. Says the Gemara, why not the following? Says the Shagasari, why not the following? Get married. Get married on condition. Meaning, I am not getting married fully right now. The Gemara tells us that we can have any condition we want when it comes to marriage. I want to marry you on almanas that your father is going to give me X number of dollars. Yeah, I want to marry you on the almanas that you're going to jump into this pool. I want to marry you on almanas that we, whatever it is, that your father agrees. The Gemara discusses all different tanoim. I have the ability to set up the transaction based on my conditions. That's what we learn in Parshas Matos from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. A person could set up his transaction on conditions. So ask the Shakasari, let's go into the Avod Yom Kippur in the simplest way. What do we need a complicated Gemara for? The Gemara says, I'm marrying this woman on condition, if the other one dies, the Kiddushin should take effect on Yom Kippur. What's the problem? It's so simple. If there's no other wife available, I have a backup set up. It only takes effect if the other one dies. So basically, what are you doing? You're setting up a transaction to be chal on Yom Kippur, potentially. Potentially, if it's necessary. So that's the Shagasari's kasha. And the Rav Shagasari works very, very hard on this. And says Rav Kiva Eger, that's the answer to our question. Shagasari, you're not allowed to set up a transaction to be chal on Yom Kippur. And says Rav Kiva Eger, you're not only not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to set up a transaction and do everything beforehand, and now it's just going to automatically be set up and take effect on Shabbos, not only Yom Kippur, but on every Shabbos. And therefore, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that's why we have to change the calendar every Erev Pesach Shechalios b'Shabbos, and we have to do the Mechiras Chametz a day before. Why can't we just eat our Chametz totally fine, keep our Chametz, and set up the Kinyan and the Mechira with the guy a day before Erev Pesach, a day before Shabbos, and the transaction will take effect on Shabbos. We'll give over the money, everything will take care, no muktzah, everything will be set up, all the contracts will be signed, no malacha at all, and let it just take effect on Shabbos. Why don't we entertain that possibility? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's the answer to the Shagasari's question. Because you can't have, even though you're sleeping, even though you're totally passive, even though you're not involved, you cannot have a kinyan taking effect on Shabbos, even though you did all the transaction, all of the actions from before Shabbos. Whoa. If that's the case, now we understand and we can make sense of some of this, of some of our shiloh right now. According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, now we have a very serious shiloh. Now we have to explain why that is. But according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, if I put in a bid before Shabbos into my crypto exchange, so aren't I just like this person that wants to make a transaction right before Shabbos? And it's taking effect once it hits the bid, once it hits that price. So now it's sold. So now, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, I just did something that even the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur can't do. I just did something that Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying is very serious. But what's with your question? This is no different than cooking. What's with your question? This is a problem. So we have one problem to explain the idea of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Just give me 1 second. Another question we have is Rabbi Moshe Feinstein points out, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, your chiddush is beautiful. It's a great chop for the Gemara and Yuma to explain the Avodah in Yom Kippur. But you're against the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen says from Parshas Bo, when it comes to Pinyan Aben, there's no problem. You know what his issues were? A caterer. A caterer. You don't know where to, when to call the caterer. When to get the video camera. When to make a bracha. That's the problem. Trumas Hadeshen should have said much better. Trumas Hadeshen should have said, you're not allowed to do this in the first place. The Pinyan is going to be Chal on Shabbos. That's a transaction that's taking effect on Shabbos. But from the fact that Trumas Hadeshen had to go this way and that way to find out why we don't do this practice, when it comes to a Pinyan Aben that falls out on Shabbos, sounds like the Trumas Hadeshen didn't agree to Reb Akiva Eiger. So Reb Moshe Feinstein says, no, not true. Not true, Reb Akiva Eiger is correct. Reb Akiva Eiger is correct, and it's not against the Trumas Hadeshen. Why not? Says Reb Moshe Feinstein, he says, I hate to kill all of the Pinyan Aben drushes, but says Reb Moshe Feinstein that this child doesn't really have Kedusha. This child, like, if you play ball with him before the Pidyon HaBen, so then you're over Mi'ila, like you're desecrating Hekdesh. Come on, get over yourself a little bit. You know, this is not the, he says Rav Moshe, it doesn't really have Kedusha. So we're making this name of a Pidyon of as if that he has Kedusha, but he says you're not really redeeming and changing the status of something going from Hekdesh, from the Beis HaMikdash to your property, to your house. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's not a real Pidyon. But Moshe Feinstein says, yeah, but wait a second. You're not allowed to pay back a loan either on Shabbos. Says Moshe Feinstein, so maybe it's a piron hachov. Maybe I owe the money just like I owe Truma. Maybe I owe the money to shave it at Kahuna and it should be usher on Shabbos. Mitzad piron hachov. The Goyin Negro writes on Barichus that every pidyon aben is like a chov. And Bezdin can even collect without your problem. That's why the Groan says you can even do it al yidei shliach. Mamish like a chov, like paying back a loan, paying back a debt. Says Rav Moshe, yeah, but even that really might not be a problem because you're not using the language of a piron achov. But then Rav Moshe says, yeah, but you're using a worse language. You're using the language of pidyon aben. It's a pidyon. So it does look like some sort of transaction. So you're not helping. You should call it something totally different outside of the world of transactions. Says Rav Moshe, you're right. It might look like a piron achov, but at the end of the day, the Trumas Hadeshen was talking about where you're not even paying it on Shabbos. So if it's not really a pidyon, and it's a piron achov, even if it's a piron achov, but you're taking care of this transaction from before Shabbos, says Rav Moshe, there would not be an issue at all with what you're doing, and this would not be in violation of Reb Akiva Eiger, and Reb Akiva Eiger could see eye to eye when it comes to pidyon aben, as opposed to when you're doing a real transaction. So that's Rav Moshe's suggestion, that perhaps Rav Akiva Eiger and the Trumas Hadeshen could live together, because this is not a real pidyon, and plus, you're doing the Maisa pidyon from before Shabbos, so perhaps Rav Akiva Eiger would agree. But, says Rav Moshe, but if a person's really buying something, a person's really doing a transaction, so then this might be a very serious issue. That's not like a pidyon aben. Pidyon aben might be a joke, but what about me buying crypto? What about me putting in a bid? What about that? Says Rav Moshe, that's something you should be very concerned about. That's a Rav Akiva Eiger that leaves the world of the Trumas Hadeshen, that leaves the world of Parshas Bo of this week's Parsha, and then you should really be machmir. Why? What's the issue? I don't understand. Like you all pointed out so beautifully, if I sit at home and I put on food onto the fire and I'm passive and I'm sitting on my couch or I'm sleeping, I'm not doing anything wrong, that's not a malacha. That's not a malacha. I'm not violating. I'm not active. That's not something that's usher on Shabbos. So where in the world did Rabbi Akiva Eiger get this idea that if I set up a kinyan, Erev Shabbos, and it takes effect on Shabbos, suddenly that's usher? I don't understand Rabbi Akiva Eiger. If I do Bishul, which is a Doraisa, which is a Chiv Skila, I'm not going to be usher. It's not going to be the usher if I did the action from before Shabbos and it only gets cooked on Shabbos. If I put on my sprinklers, it's also mutter. Even though we have the practice to turn it off because it makes loud noises. That's not me doing a malacha on Shabbos. All of these things. I'm not violating a malacha. So how can this be worse than a malacha? So Rav Akiva Eiger doesn't tell us. Rav Akiva Eiger kind of leaves us hanging. Rav Moshe helped us to understand how Rav Akiva Eiger can live with the Trumas Hadeshen, but Rav Akiva Eiger doesn't explain where he's coming from. Why is it that this transaction takes effect on Shabbos and the Maisa Kinyan, the transaction was done before Shabbos, is a problem. So Mari Virabi Rav Shechter Shlita.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Clarification?
Yeah.
In this case, shouldn't it be, you're not doing a Kinyan before Shabbos. What you're saying is that if it hits a price, I'm doing a Kinyan now. Meaning, in the other cases, you're doing a mice on Erev Shabbos. You want it to be chal on Shabbos.
I gave my
unless I don't understand crypto.
No, I gave my money. I set it in. I set it up.
If it never hits the price, there was no mice.
Everything that's needed for this to be acquired to me is set up already.
But there's a variable. In all the other cases, the only variable is the change of the calendar. You did the whole Maisa. When the calendar changes,
so why should
now it's Chal. Oh, here,
excellent.
There's no Maisa. The whole Maisa is going to happen on Shabbos.
So Rabbi Shechter Shlita is of the following opinion. Rabbi Shechter Shlita holds like this. He holds, you don't understand what the Pshat in Rabbi Akiva Eiger is. It's a fascinating Pshat. He says, what's the reason you're not allowed to do business on Shabbos? What's the problem? It's not because it's Chai Shabbos.
Because you might write.
It's because you might write. What is that called in Halacha? A Gzeira. A Siyog. Says Rav Shechter that perhaps one could make a difference between a Siyog, a protection, a Geder, and a Malacha. Rav Shechter has this fascinating explanation in many areas of Halacha. He explains this also in the area of cooking. Rav Shechter thinks that for you to set up on a Shabbos clock, you know, I'm totally passive, to set up a coffee or something to be put on through a robot to be put on onto your fire on Shabbos, and the Isser is what? Maybe you're going to stoke the coals. Says Rav Shechter, that's a siyag, and that would be usser even though you're totally passive. I don't understand. If you're telling me a malacha d'oraisa, if I'm passive, it's okay. The lights can turn on its own, setting up a Shabbos clock. So why should a Durabbanon? And not only a Durabbanon. A Durabbanon, that's a what? That's a protection, that's a siyag, that's a geder. Usually we approach halacha and we think, it's a geder. It's an extra, it's a chumrah. It's a protection. Those we could be makel about. Says Rav Shechter, no. Absolutely not. He says it's the opposite. He says when Chazal said you have to set up a protection, they were basically saying that this is not really a malacha. It's not malacha oriented. Sometimes Chazal could say, midrabanan, on a rabbinic level, we're going to create, they had 39 malachos on a daraisa, on a biblical level. So now we're going to say that there are subcategories, or there are things that are similar. Midrabanan, we thought that this was very close to that action in the Mishkan, and therefore we want to say, this should also be a malacha d'rabanan. But that's being patterned after the biblical halacha, the daraisa. But let's say you're not even comparing yourself to the Doraisa. I am making something up brand new. The rabbis came in a certain century and they said, this is a new protocol, this is a new policy, we have to set up this safeguard because otherwise we're going to have problems. But not that we're saying you're doing exactly what was done in the Mishkan. It's going to lead to this. So that's a siyag, that's a geder, that's not following the same principles as the malacha, as the action that was prohibited. Says Rav Shechter, perhaps that's what Rav Akiva Eiger meant. Perhaps when it comes to a geder, when it comes to a siyag, when it comes to things that are protective, I could violate that even though I'm not even involved in an action. You're still within the concerns of Chazal. So Chazal said, we think such activity is not necessarily prohibited. But we think such activity of making a kinyan on Shabbos is going to lead to a person getting carried away and ultimately going to write. Is that a malacha d'rabbanan? No. I'm doing a handshake. I'm making a kinyan. I'm lifting something up. This has nothing to do with writing from the observer. But at the same time, the rabbi said this can lead to writing. So it's atu. It's a gzeira atu. So says Rav Shechter, that's not a malacha. That's a gzeira. So perhaps that could be violated even if you were passive. So if that's the case, and that will have ramifications, says Rav Shechter, to listening to music, right? Why can't we argue, right? Many Achronim, back in the day, this is not Baruch Hashem, not the Minig anymore, many Achronim argued, you have a Sheva Brachos, it's brought down in the Magen Avraham, you have a Sheva Brachos, why not get a band, right? We have at the Chasana, why don't get them to come to your Chasana? You'll get a guy to play, to your Sheva Brachos, on Shabbos Sheva Brachos. They'll play the music. They're goyim. Let's argue it's a shvus to shvus. The makom mitzvah, this is going to enhance the simcha. Why not? It's a great argument. It's a shvus to shvus. If you would allow it for a malacha, why wouldn't you allow it here? Says Rav Shechter, you know what the reason is? Because it's a gzeira.
Because it's not about the malacha per se. It's not about the action. It's about the fact that you're passively. The reason why you're not allowed to play music is a geder, is a siog, is a gzera atu. It's a protection to maybe you're going to come and fix an instrument. That's just like this gzera of doing kinyanim on Shabbos. So says Rav Schechter, when a goy plays music in your house on your behalf, maybe you're violating that gzera. It's not the goy is doing the malacha. That's my issue. I set up. Passively, I'm in violation. And there are countless examples of this chiddush of Rav Schechter. So Rav Schechter thinks that that's the pshat in Rav Kiveger as well. Rav Schechter thinks that if I set myself up, that I will set up a situation that this kinyan will take effect on Shabbos, says Rav Schechter, then you are violating the gezerah. It's not a malacha anymore. You can violate that passively. So now you set up that kinyan, now that can take effect on Shabbos, crypto, and I asked Rav Schechter this, crypto should be usser to put in a bid before Shabbos. You have to close your bids Erev Shabbos and open it up on Matzah Shabbos. However, that is not everyone's opinion. And now I'm going to talk to you about your Rav. Nistami, he was going like this.
Question.
Yeah.
If we override Shabbos by doing a bris because it has to be done in a specific time, why is it Pinyan Ben not the same circumstance?
That's a fascinating question. And we really, the Gemara was bothered by this. The Gemara was bothered why we override. We're doing a malacha, we're much worse than Pinyan Ben. There you're violating the orisas. You're involved in Netilas Neshama. The Torah has the ability to say that it's mutter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a bris on Shabbos. There's a gzeiris hakosev, a yoytzim and haklal. The Torah says, ubayoyim hashmini, ubayoyim afilu b'Shabbos, says the Gemara, that we override Shabbos, even though it's going to be a malacha. But that's where the Torah said it. The Torah didn't say it anywhere else. Rabbi Isai, perhaps al derech what Rabbi Goldberg was saying, there's a new mahalach in Rabbi Kiva Eger. Perhaps this whole... Not everyone is subservient to where I'm not trying to argue with my Rebbe, Reb Schechter, it's a beautiful pshat. But not everyone necessarily had this mahalach of gzeiros versus malachas. Perhaps everything is drabonans. And Chazal didn't want you to do something that would cause you to get into the wrong space and to get carried away. And ultimately you're going to write something down if you're going to be involved in transactions on Shabbos. But at the end of the day, like everyone asked so beautifully, you're passive. You're not doing anything wrong. How are you telling me that I'm in violation over here if I didn't do anything wrong? So it comes along the Avnei Nezer, it comes along a group of Achronim, and they say, no, it's not that you're violating this passively. But rather, when you're setting up something that's directly going to have an outcome, and there's no interruption, and there's nothing that's going to affect this, you're setting this up that has a clear path, that on Shabbos, this is going to be take effect and it be a full-fledged kinyan. So perhaps the pshat is we take your Maisa Kinyan, we take the transaction and the action that you did on Erev Shabbos, and since the action, since the Chalos HaKinyan, since the effect of the transaction is happening on Shabbos, we view it as if the action is moved over to Shabbos and as if you just did a Maisa Kinyan on Shabbos. That's the way a group of Achronim understand Rabbi Kiva Eger. You're right! The Maisa Kinyan, you dealt with the money, the Muktzah happened all Erev Shabbos. But since it's inevitable that it's going to happen on Shabbos, the logic of Rav Kiva Eger was, since it's taking effect on Shabbos, now we view it as if you did the Maisa Kinyan on Shabbos. What's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina is crypto. Crypto, like the Rav said, and like a few Rabbanim argue, if I'm putting in a bid, I have no idea what's going to happen. And I have no idea when it's going to happen. And there are so many variables on what can change and make and decide whether or not it's gonna make a kinyan or it's not gonna make a kinyan. So when it comes, since the mice is integral over here, since the fact that the mice and the chalos have to connect and they have to be something that's inevitable and it has a clear path going into Shabbos that it's going to take effect. So argues Rav Rubin, I Baruch Hashem just met him in Eretz Yisrael. So we got this is the first shaila I discussed with him. Rav Rubin disagreed with Rav Schechter. Rav Rubin thought, since there's many different effects and you don't know if the bid's going to hit, so then how can you say that I'm now violating the Issa D'Rabbanan? Rav Kiva Eger was talking where you had a Maisa Kinyan, you knew what's going to happen, and we're saying, and we're making a Tanai, it should be Chal on Shabbos, and nothing's going to stop this. Over here, there are many questions. I don't know what's going to happen. It's a bid. I might lose the bid. I might win the bid. Who knows? And maybe it's going to happen after Shabbos. Maybe I'll close it after Shabbos. Who knows?
Bishul is also mechusser, the whole process.
Yeah, so once you're comparing it to malachas, and a malacha D'Rabbanan, and you're saying the ma'isa is integral, even the gzera, you're just interpreting that the ma'isa is as if it exists on Shabbos. So then over here, this is not a clear path. Rabbi Eger's case was talking about where you're going to do a ma'isa kinyan, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, I so want it to be... Yeah, but then it's not going to be enabled. The only way this is going to be effective is to be a chal on Yom Kippur. That's the only... I want it to be chal on Yom Kippur. I have it defined. I have it specific. It's to be there. But over here, it's so many different realms of possibility.
If you don't serve Yom Kippur, then it's not right then. Meaning, the point is to be married.
No. It was only chal for Yom Kippur. That was the case. That was... Yeah.
So are you talking... There's a window of time on crypto... where you're consciously putting it on Friday, because you could have been in 4 days before that becomes...
I don't think that matters, exactly. Because as long as I'm not making a direct tonight that I know for sure is going to affect, so then we don't lift up that Misa and put it and place it onto...
You've been referring to Erev Shabbos only when you put the bid in.
No.
Yeah, but that's... Sorry, I didn't mean that. I just meant it because we're holding on Erev Shabbos right now, and I know everyone's going to put in their bids right after this. So it's a little different there. It's a little different there. That would be only in a serve Amir Lachum, but...
Isn't the loss of value a problem also? Because you have a minimum, a dollar amount that has to be done for the bids on a bend. You put in crypto, you change the dollar amount, therefore it won't be sufficient for the...
Oh, that's also true, but I put a defined bid. I locked into a price. On crypto, if you go into this advanced trading, I can lock into a specific price that I want. So that lechayra is a nafkamina, and I think it comes out like this. If you're in the YU veld, so it's awesome. But if you're outside, Rabbi Rubin, and also in Toronto, who's the Rav in Toronto again? Rabbi Miller. Rabbi Miller also came out with the same sack, based on Amaram Shik, that understood Rabbi Kiva Eger like this, and I think that they're really two mahalchim. It had to understand this Reb Kiva Eger and this Psak and our Parsha, which ultimately will have effects on this very important Shaila of setting up crypto bids before Shabbos. Just quickly to close, the Torah in this week's Parsha, as we mentioned, introduces the mitzvah of Pinyan HaBen. But it introduces the mitzvah of the Pinyan HaBen in the context of HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeeming the firstborn and saving all of the firstborns of Klal Yisrael, as opposed to the firstborns of the Mitzrim, where he carried out the Makkah of Makkas Bechiris. It's very interesting that the Torah, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, tells us that Chiba Yaseira Noidas Lehem, that the Mishnah says there was a certain love, terms of endearment that were notified to Klal Yisrael, and the fact that they were called Bonim Lamokom. Klal Yisrael is called the children of HaKadosh Baruch. So what is the Chiba Yisera Neidas Lehem? There's an additional Chiba. So I always understood the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos to mean that, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows how special Klal Yisrael is, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls him his children. But the Archaim HaKadosh says that's not what the Mishnah means. Chiba Yisera Neidas Lehem. You never tell someone the entire story. Miktsas shvacho omrim lefanav. When I like you, I'm going to tell you only partially. I'm not really going to reveal everything that I feel about you. Miktsas shvacho omrim lefanav. We say partial praise to an individual. It says the Archaim HaKadosh, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that you're bonim lamakom, that you're children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's only miktsas shvacho. The real shvach, the real praise is that you're... You're really the chosen one. You're the firstborn. You're that feeling that I have when I have that first child. That celebration at the Pidyon HaBen. That's what's going on in this week's parasha. You're not just Bonim Lamakom. You're not just my children. You're Bni Bechor Yisrael. You're the Bechor. Kasha is. If we're the Bechor, so who's the Bonim? So different options. How to answer this. But I'd like to suggest where Tzadik HaKoyin explains in the Suda of Pidyon HaBen. Tzadik HaKoyin says, you know who the Bonim is? It's not the Umos HaOlam. It's not anyone else. It's the Malachim. You are above and beyond the Malachi Asharis. You have the ability to give Nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like none of his angels can. His angels are like children. But it's not the celebration, it's not the simcha, it's not the nachas that you have when you're redeeming that first child. When you're celebrating that firstborn, that bechor, that's what you are, Klal Yisrael. The Arizal HaKadosh says that the Torah in this week's parasha tells us HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to be poid the Am Yisrael to do the first Pidyon HaBen. Chasam Sofer understands this practice of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with the Batim in Mitzrayim was literally a Pidyon HaBen lahalacha. He compares it in Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. He says that we learn dinim from this parsha, from the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried out Pidyon HaBen, redeeming Am Yisrael, redeeming the firstborn, but it's all of Klal Yisrael. It's not just the firstborns in Klal Yisrael. There's an element of Bechor that applies to Gans Am Yisrael, the whole entire Klal. So what does it mean that we're above and beyond the Malachi HaShavis? Says Reb Tzodok HaKoyen, based on the Arizal, says, Rebbeinu Shlom says there's an element of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Ani V'loy Malach. So Arizal understands what that means is there's a part of Yitzias Mitzrayim that a Malach can't be involved with. What is Yitzias Mitzrayim? Yitzias Mitzrayim is coming out of a world of distractions, a world of materialism, a world trying to pull you down to the 49th level of Tumah, trying to end anything Kadosh about you, and then finding that Rishis, finding that inner core value, finding that Bechor inside of you, and being able to elevate that, and to be Mekadeshim Shamayim in the world. A Malach can't do that. The Kotzker Rebbe says, Anshei Kodesh Tiyomri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want Anoshim, I don't want Malachim. I can create Malachim by the dozens, but this is not what I get Nachas out of. I get nachas out of people like you that are sitting here on a Friday morning before they put their crypto bids in, and they said, we need to learn first. We need to dedicate the Reishis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to bring the Bechor out in our lives. This is someone who went through Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is someone that's giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachas that Malachim can. This is why they're my firstborn. This is why they're Bnei Bechor Yisrael. That's the celebration of a Pidyon HaBen. Celebration of a Pidyon HaBen, like Rav Moshe says, even if it's not a real redemption, even if it's not a real transaction, even if all it is a piron achov, is just a debt. But why are we celebrating? We're celebrating not only for the firstborns, we're celebrating because you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, shh, don't tell anyone. You're not only banim lamakom, you're bnei b'chayr Yisrael. You're my firstborn, and you can do things that the malachim can't do. So Rabbi Isai, I literally, I'm not just playing the game over here. I had such a chizuk over here. I turned to my brother, I said, this is unbelievable. I'm like overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with emotion. I can't. This is such a Kiddush Hashem. This doesn't get halavai vaiter, but this is great. This is unbelievable. Such a Kiddush Hashem. This is what Rav Tzadok meant. Bnei Bechori Yisrael. This is the way people are living. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's time to bring the Mashiach. It's time to look at Boca Raton Synagogue, and Emir Tzashem, we should all learn, and we should bring the Mashiach, amen. And Emir Tzashem, the Meir of Yemenu, we should all be Zeich to the Gula, the Kara.